Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, brother?
Cool. Boys, I'm good. How are you doing?
We are wonderful. Appreciate good. You taking time to join us this morning. So, David, obviously two back-to-back performances for the Titans that leave an ugly taste in your mouth as you head into the bye week. But overall, 8-4, you're 12 games in. Injuries have been the story all season long. What do you think about where the Titans sit right now heading into the bye week in terms of how they fit into the AFC picture?
Well, it's interesting, Robbie. I've been doing this a long time, right? And I've always sort of considered that one of my strengths as a reporter is the ability to sort of keep a view on the big picture and not live and die with each result. But this team's got me on the roller coaster this year. I mean, 2 weeks ago I was sitting there thinking, okay, I got to be prepared for a long January, and I got to think about what I'm going to do during the playoff weeks, and how much more I'm going to do, and what have you. And now after these last two games, I find myself thinking this team's going nowhere. But they built themselves a margin for error. They have used up some of that margin at this point. I mean, you look at it. Yes, they're 8-4. Yes, they're two games up on the Colts, and they have the tiebreaker. But there are 12 teams in the AFC right now at 500 or better. So there can't be any sort of sense that they've done enough, or that they can just sort of cruise through these last 5 weeks, maybe win a couple games. They're going to be just fine. I mean, it's starting to look like 10 wins might not be enough to make the playoffs in the AFC, depending on how things shake out. So that I think for the Titans, the big goal, the primary thing has to be whatever is necessary, stay ahead of the Colts, win the division. We can probably all forget about the notion of the number one seed in the AFC at this point, but win the division, get a home playoff game. Because that'll give you a big advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe you can, if you win that game, then crazy things will probably happen in the other playoff games. Things will shake out from there. Maybe you build some momentum. Maybe you sort of really get going there. But I think that's the best case scenario for this team right now is just to stay on top of the division, get that home playoff game, and then see where things go from there.
Yeah, I mostly agree. I mean, look, I feel like the one seed, I wouldn't rule it out yet, although I think you're going to have to obviously close to win out, and for that to be possible, there's going to have to be a total 180 in injury luck. I suppose that's possible. But, I mean, when you look at the AFC, David, who would you expect to get the one, and what would you expect their record to be? I mean, what do you think gets the one?
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to get to 12 wins. I would think. I mean, maybe 13. But Mike Vrabel talks about it all the time, and we certainly saw it. The last 2 years, the most important thing is to keep getting better as the season progresses. In 2019, this team got a lot better from start to finish, and look how good they were in the playoffs. Last year, this team played its best football early in the year, was not nearly as good, you know, did a one and done in the playoffs. You know, you can't say this team has gotten better as this year has gone along. You can't say it's gotten worse either, because the injuries have just muddied the waters in terms of everything. But if you look, you know, New England is clearly a team that's getting better as it goes. And oh, by the way, New England has played as many games as the Titans. They haven't had their bye yet either, right? I mean, and they've got another game before they get theirs. So New England is actually, you know, they don't have the injury issues the Titans have. New England is actually the one sitting in that seat where they say, you know what, we're in great shape. We've got our bye week. We're going to be able to exhale, catch our breath, and then really go hell-bent for leather into the last month of the season. So I think they're the most likely to get number one right now. But you know, Kansas City's a team you sort of left for dead a few weeks ago. They're rolling and getting better right now. Cincinnati's a team that's getting better right now. Those are the ones that are they're sort of the most dangerous to me in terms of the AFC and the ones who could sort of, you know, maybe blow past the Titans right now in that race for the number one seed.
David Beauclair from SI.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, let's talk Ryan Tannehill, because obviously, I mean, you look at his wide receiver core on Sunday, it's been a revolving door at receiver on the offensive line. Obviously, no Derrick Henry, so injury's a big factor. How much of Tannehill's struggles do you put on him, and how much of it do you put on the situation around him?
I think, you know, it's fair to put some of it, maybe a good amount of it, on him. I think we're, you know, this has sort of been the big question the last couple years, right? Is the Titans' success on offense, you know, how much has Ryan Tannehill had to do with the Titans' success on offense? Certainly, you know, he's been really good in terms of his recognition at the line of scrimmage, getting the Titans into the right play and you know, getting the ball in Derrick Henry's hands with opportunities to make things happen, the play action, all that sort of stuff, you know. But I think most people sort of wondered, you know, what would happen if Ryan Tannehill had to do more, and we're seeing a little bit of that. And you think about Sunday in New England. What we all know is that Bill Belichick and the Patriots defense are always going to try and take away what you do best, right? And so while everybody is probably feeling encouraged about the running game and the numbers they put up Sunday, there's sort of a sense that New England let them do that. And they said, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you try and beat us. We'll see what you can do. And what did he do? He started the game 8 for 8. Great. But, you know, they were only, those 8 completions were only 48 yards. So it's not like he was chucking it all over the lot and that their defensive backs' heads were spinning trying to figure out what was going on. And then after that, he was just 3 for 13 the rest of the day. You know, couldn't keep the Titans in that game. And again, he didn't have Julio Jones. He didn't have A.J. Brown out there. He hasn't had Anthony Firkser in the way anyone imagined all season long. So, you know, it's fair to say things could be better and things might be better before things go. But I also feel like the best quarterbacks in this league, they elevate the guys around them to do more than maybe you would typically expect. And I don't think we've seen that from Tannehill through this stretch. I think he's getting what he can. I think he probably, what we're seeing is he is what most people kind of figured it he was, is he's a good NFL quarterback. He is not a transcendent NFL quarterback. I mean, he's a guy you can win games in or win games with in this league, but he needs help to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan, I thought it was an interesting response from Vrabel to the question on the training staff, medical. And I don't know how much you're getting of this from fans, but, I mean, it's been a pretty steady stream for the last few weeks, either here on our text line or on Twitter or whatever, people saying, you know, what's up with the training staff? What's up with the medical staff? Just wondering. And I've heard this before with teams that have had injuries. I've also never seen a particular team in one season have injuries like this. What is your takeaway from that entire thing? I thought it was interesting Vrabel brought up again, you know, it's up to the players to – make sure they're doing all the right things too.
Yeah, I think it was 2014. Maybe there was a there was a rash of knee injuries, you know, with this team where you said, okay, you know, what's going on here? And there, you know, there was another year that there was earlier on, I remember a rash of hamstring injuries, and you say, what was going on? This year, it's been a bunch of different things. You know, hamstrings seem to be the number one, but you know, like AJ Brown is out with a chest injury, and Jackrabbit Jenkins has an ankle injury, and Greg Maben has an ankle injury, and you've had a couple concussions lately, and it's not like there's one thing that's going on where you can say, you know, I wonder if the training staff did something differently or didn't do enough of something that they've left these guys vulnerable in this regard. I think this is one of those years, and I also kind of think, Joe, that maybe one of this team's best strengths, which has been its ability to overcome, you know, like the coaching staff has done an amazing job plugging players in and getting, you know, finding ways to win games with guys who aren't your starters and whatnot. But I think that might also be part of the problem in that, you know, while Mike Vrabel has pushed all the right buttons up until 2 weeks ago and pushed this team farther than maybe a lot of people expected, maybe he pushed them too far. And I don't mean that as a criticism, right? Because you have to try and win every game in the NFL. This isn't the NBA where you can just say, oh, we're just going to rest our starters and the hell with it on a Tuesday night in Oklahoma City or whatever. I mean, you had to try and win these games, but I wonder if maybe Mike Vrabel didn't get too much out of this team to where, you know, in overcoming injuries, pushed guys to the point that more guys got injured. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's I think anything's on the table.
That's right. David Beauclair from SI.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, my man.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You as well. Yeah. David Beauclair does a great job covering the Titans for SI.com. Friend of the show as well.
That's right.
Great stuff from David
Beauclair.
That's
an interesting thought.
It is.
You know, on you had to go, you had to do so many things and, you know, compensate for things. Now maybe you've made it tougher on yourself.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also get to some breaking news on one of the world's greatest athletes of all time as well. That coming up next. We'll get more into that, tell you what I mean on that front. Right now, we are joined by my good friend Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic. Men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey there. This really is a breakthrough, guys. If you're struggling in the bedroom, suffering with ED, I bet you're hating the pill. Acoustic wave therapy, this is an advancement at Hillside Medical Clinic, and it's clinically proven to open up and regrow blood vessels. It improves circulation enough, we can get rid of the erectile dysfunction, and we do it, thank goodness, without the use of a pill.
Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this new technology?
There are over 50 clinical studies now from Cambridge University, the Cleveland Clinic, and so many others showing this treatment is effective, it's safe. It was called recently the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you have a special offer right now if our listeners call in.
We do. If you want to regain your love life in time for the holidays, call us now this morning. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound. This is a lot of value. It's free and a gift you'll love. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. $500 normally. We're doing it free this morning to callers now.
That's right, guys. You heard it. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. You can put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow night on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Rexroad, before our time together is over, I think you're going to give yourself a concussion. What is going on over there,
man? I'm checking for blood. I think I don't have blood.
That's number three.
But that, yeah, that's the second one where I really got myself. What the heck?
I don't know.
I don't either, man.
I've yet to see it. I didn't even have to see that one, and I knew what was going on.
How come Robbie and I miss it every time? I just turn over, and I just see you, like, in pain.
Yeah, it happens fast. It's like you just, I don't know, I guess I just lose, you know, lose grip on it a little bit, and it snaps, you know? I mean.
I don't know. Just, there it is, and it just snaps back.
I mean, there is a pretty intense snap action if you can't, you know, handle like just taking your hands and opening it and putting it on your head. Like apparently I can't.
By the way, the details on the Brian Kelly contract have come out.
A little more reasonable.
10 years, $95 million. Okay. So the $15 million per year stuff that was being tossed out there, not the case. 10 years, $95 million for Brian Kelly at LSU.
Well, if LSU had any interest in Mel Tucker, as some people thought at one point, they saw him get a 10-year 95, and then they paid the same thing for a coach who's done a whole bunch more than Mel Tucker in Brian Kelly. So who's going to be the – okay, so incentives bring it around, yeah, about 100. So who's going to be – and Lincoln Riley, we've seen – he is what exactly? Is he 10 too? Is he another
10? I think he is 10, and he's his like 100 and – 10 million or something
okay.
like
so
that.
Yeah, okay. So he's already into the triple digits. Yeah. So
which takes a little bit more to live out there.
That's true. I mean, absolutely. No, I mean, cost of living very different than in Norman, Oklahoma. So you keep that in mind. As Dana O'Neill, I like what Dana O'Neill is doing today on the as she responds to the contract details. I believe around 20 people lost their jobs in LSU athletics during COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. When you need to find the money in college athletics, you find the money.
Joe, some breaking news on the Tiger Woods front. As we remember, Tiger Woods with a horrific car accident back in February, where he was found in a rolled over car at the scene and all sorts of broken bones in his lower body. I wondered at the time, is he ever going to be able to play golf again? And he's come out with an interview in Golf Digest and is actually speaking to the media right now as we speak. The quote, "I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again, but just pick and choose like Mr. Ben Hogan did, pick and choose a few events a year, and you play around that. You practice around that, you gear yourself up for that. I think that's how I'm going to have to play it from now on. It's an unfortunate reality, but my reality, I understand it and I accept it." This is coming from Tiger Woods. So the days of Tiger Woods being a full-time member of the PGA Tour are over, and he is working back in rehab right now. Says he's less than halfway back at this point. Lots of muscle development and things he's going to have to do in his lower body. And says, you know, keep in mind he's had 5 back procedures as well. So anytime he's doing stuff in his lower body, sometimes his back flares up, and it's been a tough process for Tiger Woods. Probably going to be a while before he gets back on the course in terms of a PGA event. But Tiger Woods confirming that his days as a full-time PGA Tour player are over at this point.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a ton of surprise about that. It's amazing. Obviously, this is just a terrible accident. Could have been way worse, of course. And the injuries he already had from golf were really piling up. So
yeah.
It's too bad. He had an incredible run. You know, obviously there was some thought, is he actually going to make a run at Nicklaus here? And, you know, I think this thing pretty much ended that. But it's good to see him at least working his way back to trying to have a good quality of life here moving forward.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, 2019 when he wins the Masters, that was pretty awesome to watch that. As somebody who grew up watching Tiger Woods play golf on a weekly basis, pretty awesome to watch Tiger Woods do that. So he has 15 major titles. I think Nicklaus has 18. So, I mean, you know, he's going to pick and choose events he plays in moving forward if he can get back to full health. I would imagine that means he's going to play in the four major tournaments and maybe a couple others throughout the year, and that's about it.
And maybe you catch lightning in a bottle one weekend. I mean, at some point down the road.
Maybe so. I don't know. But, I mean, it is – if you would have told someone in 2006 or 2008, like go back to 08 when he wins that U.S. Open and basically is playing on one leg and wins that U.S. Open. Like, it's incredible. And you're thinking to yourself, I mean, 18 is a certainty at this point. He's getting up at like 25 major championships. And if you would have told me in 08 that 15 was the number, I'd have been like, yeah. Wow, what happened to Tiger Woods?
Right.
But it's been – what a crazy story with Tiger Woods.
And the answer would be a whole bunch.
A whole bunch has happened. That is correct. So, wish the best for Tiger Woods in his recovery. Hopefully, he gets back to a place where he's at least healthy enough to, you know, walk around and live his life and do what he can do. And obviously, he's got kids now, and he talks in this interview with Golf Digest about his son Charlie playing golf and being out there with him and how that's kind of what he enjoys now. So, good to see Tiger Woods making progress out there. He tweeted out a video a couple of days ago of him hitting some shots out there on a practice range. So, good to see Tiger Woods upright and moving around.
See, when people saw that, you might have thought this would be a different discussion, you know?
Well, I saw this morning that he was having a press conference and that ESPN would be airing it live at 8 o'clock. And I was like, Tiger Woods playing in like 2 weeks? What's the press conference about here? But I think a little bit more realistic what we've seen since then. By the way, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN putting it out there. Brian Kelly meeting with the Notre Dame football team for 11 minutes this morning and then leaving. So an 11-minute meeting with the Notre Dame football team this morning, and Brian Kelly's out the door.
I mean, to be fair.
Like, what do you say?
Do those dudes want to sit there for an hour and listen to him bloviate, on and on about his limitless love for them or whatever?
No.
You know, this seems about right.
Yeah, like, what do you say?
Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could take a little more time and go through the room if you know everybody's name.
You
know,
so.
But... Yeah, it's the business. It's big business. So coaches are gonna leave, and you know, as you've got the portal now, you got more freedom of movement. You got a chance to make money as a college athlete. So just always know what you're in.
Matt from Camden texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How much longer until we have an update on Derrick Henry? I know that the 6 week mark is what everyone is waiting on, so that should be next week, right? This is coming from Matt from Camden.
Yeah, and I can't tell you, Matt, that all of a sudden here comes some updates. I mean, that's when, per doctors, about this in general, you know, not his doctors. His doctors aren't talking, you know, to the media, but
right.
But for doctors who know this procedure and one I've talked to, I mean, that's when you can look and say, okay, the bone should be healed, and then you start the process of, you know, his movement, how he feels, his confidence, and that's weeks. So will there be like an update, like the bone has healed as hoped? Maybe something like that comes out of his camp. But I wouldn't look for, you know, constant updates. I mean, it's then you're looking at just the process of him going through like all the rehab stuff and really trying to see if it's feasible for him to start thinking about pounding on that thing again.
Looks like more college jobs about to be filled. As we know, Virginia Tech has a job opening, and Pete Thamel reporting looking like Penn State defensive coordinator Brent Pry going to be named the next head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies. So lots of movement in the college football coaching world. We'll keep you updated on that as the moves continue to come out. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. Welcome your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the Titans and how they sit in the AFC picture as we're heading into the bye week for the Titans? That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Indicated that Derek would be back around the guys as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Has he been?
Mm-hmm.
And what's Where is he in terms of being around and participating with things?
He's on an injured reserve program, so he comes in after, you know, there's a lot of guys. We only have so many tables. We only have so much room in there. And so, you know, those guys are spaced out after, you know, when the team meeting starts, those guys usually come in and start their treatment. And then guys, you know, filter through as we, you know, have breaks. And so, you know, I don't see much of a reason to have those guys in meetings right now. That don't have a, you know, usually about a week out, we try to put them, or what we think may be a week out, we start to put them in meetings based on each and every player. But he's around. He's around the guys. I see him in the training room and, you know, working hard to do everything he can to get back.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference discussing the status of Derrick Henry, who has been around the team. He's been in the training room, and we'll see in the next few weeks if any information comes out about what his potential availability could be for the Titans as they head down the stretch. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And at Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, coming up in about 12 minutes or so at 8:45. So looking forward to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
My brother's not excited about Brent Pride of Virginia Tech.
So no, really?
He says Virginia Tech is, you know, has no money. I'm like, no. Everybody has money, Matt. Everybody has money. I don't buy it. Maybe Brent Pry would be a great hire for the
Hokies. He's saying that the boosters that Virginia Tech are cheeks. They maybe can't come up with some money.
Maybe. I mean, he's an alum. Let's go.
Yeah, get in there.
Step up, buddy.
I am very fascinated to see what the next few days and hours look like in the college football coaching search world. Going to be fun. Oklahoma's still a job to fill. Notre Dame a job to fill. Going to be fun stuff.
And get head on a swivel.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening here soon.
Yes. Joe Rexler, the Titans at 8-4, heading into the bye week, which we've changed the title of this grid back and forth with each other about five times now as to what we call it, the bye week, the off week, the idle week, everything on the table.
I've got MFing off week now.
Yes, you do.
Thank you for not changing it.
That's right. You know, obviously there's, as we talked about with Beauclair, there's a bad taste in your mouth right now if you're a Titans fan. You've had, you know, just an atrocious performance against the Texans. You end up fumbling the ball all over the place on Sunday, losing 36-13 to the Patriots. So two losses in a row and the injuries continuing to pile up for the Titans heading into the bye week. As you look at the big picture, the overall picture for the Titans, the injuries, the record, the division, the one seed, everything that surrounds this discussion, what do you make of the position the Titans are in right now at 8-4 through 12 games with five left?
Well, I mean, I like how Beauclair put it. I mean, just it's so muddied up. It's just so hard to know. I mean, I think that this team could still do big things, and I think this team, even if you just get if you get some of these people back and you don't keep losing people, I think 3-4 wins down the stretch absolutely on the table. You might have to win five to get the one. And I don't know that, you know, you're going to win all five, but 3-4 wins and, of course, three guarantees a division. Doesn't matter if the Colts can win out and three guarantees a division. I think that's all there. And that's and David's probably right. You know, your likely best case scenario, it's not best case, but likely best case is, you know, you win the division, you have a home playoff game, and you see what happens from there. Then, obviously, 22 comes back. I mean, that's a huge part of it, but – I mean, I have no idea. Is this a good running team all of a sudden? I mean, did they find something? Was it like a eureka moment? Like, hey, it doesn't matter if we got Derrick Henry. Here's 100-yard back, and here's another 100-yard back. I don't know. It looked awfully good. It was pretty convincing. They were just not only were they blocking well, but the backs were breaking that first tackle. They were running through contact. I mean, if you're gonna do that. Well, okay, I like your chances there. You're going to have to get better on defense and return. Like, are they going to have no pass rush? They had an incredible running game and no pass rush, which is not at all what we've been seeing before that. So they're very – it's just so hard to pin down what they are. But you were -9 in the last two games in turnover margin.
Yep.
They're not a minus nine turnover team over 2 weeks. That's not what they're. Early in the season, they were talking that they weren't forcing them. Then they got through a nice run of forcing them. Now that's off again. That's got to return to some level. And then, of course, much more in your control. You can't keep giving the other team the ball. And I'm sure that's going to be a huge emphasis when they return to the field.
Well, it's interesting to think about what it's going to take to get the one seed in the AFC. I mean, you've got pretty much everybody with at least four in the loss column, except other than the Ravens, yeah, Ravens, who are 8-3. And quite frankly, I just keep watching the Ravens play, and I'm like, God, how are they winning football games? But they are. They continue to win football games. They're 8-3. But even with their – I mean, we've talked about the Ravens' schedule. Like, I think 12 is going to be enough. Like, I think 12 – somebody, I think, is going to win the AFC with a 12-5 record. Like, I think that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, you've got the Bills and Patriots playing each other twice coming down the stretch. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect maybe a split there. So that's five for both of them. You got the Ravens with the Packers, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Browns on their schedule, the Rams on their schedule. I mean, I could see them dropping at least two of those games as they move forward here. And then the Titans at 8-4, the Chiefs at 7-4. Like, it's interesting right now. I think 12 wins may be enough to put yourself in contention for the one seed. So that would mean if you're the Titans, you got to go 4-2. Or excuse me, you'd have to go 4-1. So you've got, you know, the Texans, the Jags, the Niners, the Steelers, and the Dolphins. You had to go 4-1 in that stretch.
You could. I mean, you could. Like, you can't if you look like you've looked here the last 2 weeks, but you could if you can be close to what you've been most of the season. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, what if it's, I think New England has more than one loss left in it. But New England 12-5, Titans 12-5, Chiefs 12-5. I don't even know who would win the tiebreaker there, because you've got, obviously, for the Titans, you got a head-to-head loss and a head-to-head win.
Yep.
I don't think the Chiefs and Pats play, right? I don't think so.
But
I think you're right. 4-1, and you have a really good chance, a strong chance. I mean, obviously, I think 5-0. I think anybody gets the 13, and that's going to be the clear one seed. And I don't know if the Titans – you know, the schedule looks tougher and weaker in some ways in the last few weeks, but it's also like in this league, hey, for all I know, the Steelers are going to look like, you know, the steel curtain of the late 70s when the Titans come in on that day. I mean, yeah. It's just – but the way they're trending is not positive. Meanwhile, the Dolphins are actually red hot, going from 1-7 to 5-7, and the Niners look more and more like the team I thought the Niners were going to be this year. I think the Niners actually
– Niners are good.
I think the Niners could be – you know, they're going to be like the sixth seed or something. They could be a real dangerous team in January. get George Kittle going. Yeah, that's right. You're already thinking about that Niners-Packers. No, wait, do they play this year?
They already played. Packers won, but it was a great game. Took a Mason Crosby field goal and – for some reason, Kyle Shanahan left Aaron Rodgers with 37 seconds on the clock.
Oh, that's right. Very early. Yeah. That was a Monday or Sunday game, right? Yeah, that's right. And that's before the Niners sort of nosedive, but boy, they look tough right now. So that game, you know, it's going to be a Thursday night game at home, December 23rd. I mean, it should be a pretty live environment. Also, like, you like the chances when a West Coast team comes east. Tough game, and a tough game, a physical game to play 4 days after playing a traditionally physical team in the Steelers and now taking on a real physical Niners team. And we'll see if the Titans can, one, win those games, but also continue to have players available.
Well, you mentioned it earlier, the Patriots getting a lot of love this week. I mean, they've won 6 in a row. They deserve a lot of what they're getting. But they put up a kind of a roundtable on ESPN about an hour ago of – who your best team in the AFC is. One vote for Kansas City, I think 3 or 4 for New England. So a lot of love for the Patriots. I mean, their schedule coming down the stretch, you've got the Bills twice that we talked about. You've got the Colts on Sunday Night Football. And I'll just tell you.
On the
you,
road,
like,
right?
Yeah,
on the road. Yeah.
If the Patriots' run defense looks like it looked on Sunday, Jonathan Taylor might run for 380 yards in that game.
He'll be an MVP candidate
again. Yeah, he will. And then you have the Jags and the Dolphins to close out the season. So, I mean, your best case – could the Colts sneak up and get them, and can the Bills get them at least once? That would put them at 6 losses.
Yeah. I mean, people are voting them the top team. It's just by default.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, if you didn't really watch the game and if you aren't paying close attention to the Titans, you could say, wow, the Titans were the one seed. Look at that, 36-13. Woo! But I didn't leave that game thinking, oh, the Patriots are going to – they might be the team. Hey, they're going to be in there, and they play D. They run the ball. They have a good rookie quarterback. I would not put them in the top two or three teams that I think are going to come out of the AFC right now.
We'll find out a little bit more about the Bills, I guess, in the next 3 weeks. Like what version of Buffalo is going to show up when they take on the Patriots twice.
They look pretty good at New Orleans.
They did.
They looked more like the Bills.
And Taysom Hill didn't get on the field, but yeah, they look pretty good against New Orleans. It's a different game if old Taysom's out there.
They are lucky. They are lucky that Sean Payton finally feels like he's got Taysom Hill ready to be unleashed on the NFL world.
I got a text here on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com asking, who would you take between Tannehill, Russell Wilson, or Daniel Jones? All three of them look like the kid on the playground that doesn't know he's supposed to use the laces to throw the ball at the moment. I'd still probably take my chances with Russell Wilson out of those three.
Yeah, I'll rank it Russ, Tannehill, and then pause, then Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Daniel Jones looks like a quarterback that doesn't really belong in the league at this point.
Yeah. They did beat the Eagles.
They did.
He looked better than Jalen Hurts last Sunday, so yes, for whatever that's worth.
When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's your opportunity to guess the goal scorer. If you get it right, you win some tickets to an upcoming Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Nashville Predators in action at home tonight, taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Pregame starts at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Puck drops at 7 o'clock as well. So the Preds trying to get back on the winning track tonight. Take a look at a standings update. Robbie Stanley on the board in the last time this competition was out with Mikhail Granlund scoring a goal. So the standings are as such. Joe Rex Road in first place with 5. The listeners in second place with 4 correct answers. Michelle Knezovic with 3. And Robbie Stanley with 2 correct answers.
It's getting good.
Yeah, getting a little legitimate competition.
There we go.
In here. We like that. So with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in today's participant, Wade from Nolensville. Wade, what's going on?
Not much, man. How you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to call in. So, Wade, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators against Columbus?
The player?
Yes.
I'll go with Duchesne.
Matt Duchesne, a popular selection. Wade, appreciate you taking time to call in.
All right, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. So Matt Duchesne, Wade's selection, probably a pretty good pick. He's on pace right now for about 50 goals, by the way.
Yeah. Not bad.
Pretty good. So Matt Duchesne off the board. Joe Rexrode, you were up first in today's competition.
See,
Duchesne,
Joe, you get to go first.
He'll complain.
Yeah, but the day that I get to go first is like, it's just not the right day for it.
Oh, we got it. Okay.
I needed the day when the listener's like, I'll take Colton Sissons.
Yes. <you know? laughs>
Which, didn't that just happen?
It happened literally the last time we did this.
Yeah, see, that's the day I want to be first. No fair. let's see. This is tough. I'll go ahead and stick with number 9.
Yeah, I figured you probably would. Philip Forsberg.
I mean, last year, he was the first pick. I mean, I know I started going on the yarn croak. Boy, Cali started going off for me. But Forsberg was the first pick, what, 90% of the time?
When he was healthy, yeah.
Right, for sure. When he was available.
Yeah.
I mean, not something I ever would have guessed is that he would be bumped from the obvious first pick this year while available.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
So now, make me smart, Philip.
So Matt Duchesne, Philip Forsberg off the board. I'm going to go off the board with this one. He's not scored a goal yet this year. Give me Ekholm. I'm going Matthias Ekholm to find the back of the net tonight. He's got a score, so I'm going to go with Ekholm. This is probably a horrendous pick, but I'm doing it anyway. Give me Ekholm.
I actually didn't. I didn't even realize that he had not scored a goal.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Michelle Knezovic, you were picked to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, Joe took my pick.
Well, I'm sure he did.
I think I'm going to go out of the box.
Okay.
We're not going to go with Johansson, who I've always taken. I think I'm going to go with, give me Roman Josi.
Roman Josi.
Mr. Captain.
Playing pretty well so far this year.
Half of our picks are defensemen.
That is correct.
But that's a good pick.
Yossi's already got 7 goals as a defenseman in 21 games.
8 after tonight.
Yeah, he's going to end up with, like, he's on pace for 28 goals this year. It's pretty nuts.
What if he and Duchesne stay on their same pace?
A lot of goals.
It'd be good, except then you don't want people like Cunnin and Tolvanen to stay on their pace.
No, you don't.
It kind of drags it down.
Eli Tolvanen has 1 goal on the season. It was the first goal that was scored for the Nashville Predators this year. They're 21 games in, which means he has not scored a goal in 20 games. That's some Hendersonville High School math for you right there. 20-game goal drought for Eli Tolvanen.
So is this enough of a brutal stretch to think that the Tolvanen of last year before he got hurt was the outlier and that the Tolvanen of this year is more what he is? Or am I overreacting?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, I'm concerned. He's shooting 1.8% right now. I mean, you would think at some point that's got to turn around a little bit for him.
Especially with his shot.
Yeah, I mean, 1.8% is incredibly low. Now, there were people that point straight to the shooting percentage and say that it needs to go up, and I agree that it will go up. I still don't think he's been all that dangerous. Like, it's one thing if Eli Tolvanen is capturing your attention on a nightly basis with the chances he's getting. I don't really feel like that's been the case
at all
for the most part.
Right. Like, I don't feel like most of his shots have been very good shots.
No.
And that's the problem. So it's not like he's just snake bitten because he's over there in the left circle ripping it and they're making big time saves and all that stuff. I don't see him getting great opportunities, which is not just on him, but at some point it's on him.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to find a way. That's what this game is. You got to find a way to get open and use your shot. And, you know, I thought if you would have told me that the Predators would have a top 5 power play, which they do, and Eli Tolvanen would have 1 goal through 21 games, I'd have said, you're nuts. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's like the Titans just rushed for a 270 yards and got beat by 23 points.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right. It makes no sense. And honestly, as good as he was, I mean, he changed. I mean, really, like, he gave their power play life it hadn't had in years last year, right? With what he was doing, what they were doing with Forsberg in the right circle and Tolvanen in the left circle. So, to me, I would have guessed one that you'd automatically have a handful of goals right now, just off the, you know, 3-4 off the power play by now.
Yeah,
and that he would be a much bigger part of that. And he's not, and they're great. So, sports.
Sports for sure. I mean, Ekholm has 3 points this year, 3 assists. Now, you know, Ekholm has never been a guy that's put up, you know, Roman Josi type numbers, but
never,
I mean,
will
he
be.
Can play.
Yeah.
He's a good offensive defenseman when he wants to be, but I think that just kind of shows you the role that he's in right now. A lot of defensive shutdown minutes from Ekholm, a lot of defensive zone starts.
Yeah, like to me, Ekholm on a nightly basis, he's playing well.
He's fine.
You know? Yeah, you'd like to mix in a little, sprinkle in a little offense, and I'm sure that'll happen. Tolvanen, he's there to use that shot. That's why he's in the league. If he didn't, I mean, nothing else about Tolvanen is extraordinary,
yeah.
Right? I mean, but the shot is, and they got to figure that out.
And that's,
I mean,
a fact. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
That's right.
As our friend from Texas would say.
Extraordinary. Extraordinary people like Steve Sarkisian.
I don't think anyone would debate this.
So this brings me to, I retweeted this yesterday. We got to get Mike on the show. My buddy Michael Rosenberg, who's probably the best columnist in the country, had a tweet yesterday, and I'm going to find it because it was very funny. It was basically, no, I'm not going to say basically. I'm going to read the exact tweet because I just thought of this. This is terrible radio as I try to find this. Quote, imagine watching all these big-time coaches take blue-chip jobs and realizing last year you hired Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Sorry, Texas.
It's just, like, just because you had a great year with Nick Saban where you had first-round picks running all over the field.
Mac Jones, Devontae Smith.
all over the place,
Waddle,
man.
I mean, Waddle's, I mean, just ridiculous.
Najee Harris.
It's amazing how what just being in the presence of Saban can do for you.
Yes. Which is why, in today's climate, he's probably worth $25 million per year.
I mean, he's got to be getting something new out of this, right? What if he beats Georgia? So. What if he beats Georgia Saturday? Like on Sunday, he better be making 20 mil.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. William texting in, do you guys know why Jamie Chadwell is getting the cold shoulder with all these programs? This is coming from William from Madison.
That's an interesting question. I will tell you that and there was some reporting to the contrary, which was wrong. The Vanderbilt look at Chadwell was pretty quick. You got to remember, and the thing, like the NCAA stuff, it wasn't like a big deal. It wasn't like the type of stuff that, like, for example, Jeremy Pruitt was fired for cause for. But there was stuff there, which has scared some people off. I still think that ultimately that's not going to be something that keeps him from getting a job. But I like Virginia Tech, for example. That's a job I thought he might have a real shot at. I think he's gonna get somewhere else. Maybe some people are a little uncertain of the quirky offense. It's a lot of fun to watch there. Is it going to work at my school if I'm an AD? You know, that may be part of it. He's pretty brash, but again, if you win, you win.
Yeah,
I think he'll get a job. But that whole NCAA thing that happened, I mean, there is probably more there than you might think if you look into it.
102.5 The Game. Preds game day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths, on the web at GoHermitage.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.